الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings and gifts He has bestowed upon us and is bestowing upon us, those which we know and those which we don't know. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the consciousness and the ability to render thanks unto Him at all times. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings because of our own weakness, because of our own disobedience, because of our own shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the object behind discussing these names is to look at the seerah and the noble lifestyle and the beautiful example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the only way that will ensure for us salvation and success in the Akhirah as well as a prosperous life in this world. Anyone else who opts any other way of life in this world, he will never come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never come onto the straight path and he will stray and deviate onto a path of total deviation and a path that is far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who aspire and who endeavor at all times to stick to the noble sunnah in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the true mujahideen. Those who make an effort to fulfill every order and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are on the true path of wilayat, that is the true path of obtaining the closeness and the close friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a great amount of blessings. Anyone else who opts to come closer to Allah in ways and in methods that are not according to the sunnah or that are against the sunnah or that are some other innovation and bid'ah will never ever come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala protect us. So the beautiful name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are discussing at this point in time is Al-Muallim. And as listeners who have been following this series are aware that we have gone into great amount of detail regarding this name, because this is one such name that covers and covered every day of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Undoubtedly, there wasn't a single day when he was not teaching, when he was not advising, when he was not guiding people, when he was not showing them the straight path. All these different aspects finally can be, in one word, summarized and summed as the teacher, the masterful teacher, the perfect teacher, alhamdulillah. And that is what we are supposed to be doing at all times. We are obviously at this point in time in that part of the year, which is referred to as holidays. Holidays for who? For the school children. So holidays means that now teaching in the formal manner, in the classroom situation, has terminated, but that in no way means that teaching in the informal way has come to an end. We at all times can still educate and enlighten and teach our children. Especially when the holiday comes, we can actually use different means, different vehicles, whereby we can educate and enlighten our children, and we can bring to their attention important aspects of life, values, manners, characteristics, character and good traits, inshallah. So we can be teaching them all the time. Apart from teaching them other things which cannot be normally taught in a classroom situation. So teaching is taking place at all times. For example, those of us who have got some or other kind of a business concern, it will be very beneficial if the child is brought in this day and he is taught, first of all, how to run a business, Islamic principles, honesty, and how also his father has been sweating for him the entire 11 months to put some kind of good life for him or to put some food on the table or whatever it might be. The child is now taught the value of his father's sweat and he must be made to do certain things. He must be taught. That is teaching as to how he can conduct himself one day in life, if he has to take a business, or how he can interact with people when he has to be dealing with them. And we don't know in which direction he will go, but something or the other that is being taught to him on that forum of the business will inshallah be of benefit to him. And if it's not that business, it's something else where the child needs to be put into, and he needs to be taught continuously, because life is a journey and we don't know what experiences will come in front of us, and we don't know what we have learned inshallah will be of assistance for us somewhere in the front. So children have to be taught at all times inshallah. The next aspect of teaching that we are talking about regarding Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the perfect and the master teacher is this, that he used to make use of any and every opportunity to teach the people. So if an opportune moment came where he saw something, then he used to draw the attention of his Sahaba towards that thing, and from there he used to draw a lesson. He used to deduce an important point, and he used to make them think about it. And then through that he used to do what every Nabi is supposed to do, link them up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. So in different ways, when he had opportunity, he should not let that opportunity go. And again, as parents, we know that there are many times we may be traveling or some situation comes about. We must not let it go by without drawing our children's attention. Or if we are teachers for that matter, we don't let any opportunity go, but we use that opportunity to let the children learn something. So opportune moments must not pass us, but we capitalize and utilize them for enhancing our children's knowledge and for effectively letting them see life in a different way. One is the textbook teaching, one is the blackboard teaching, and one is it can just be a form of teaching if some incident happened or some phenomena is noticed, whatever it might be, and immediately the children's attention is drawn. You look out the window, it is now, for example, raining season, and we know sometimes a great amount of dark clouds form and the entire classroom becomes dark. It has happened very often. So before we put the lights on for the children to see, we can tell them that look, there's dark clouds here, and we can speak so much about it, and we can also talk about the Qudrat of Allah. We can talk about how Allah sends down water, and most importantly, we can tell them what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do when it used to become very dark, or when a very strong wind used to blow. Immediately he used to resort to salah and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing sinister should happen, nothing bad should happen. So in this way we take that opportunity, as we say, we seize the opportunity. And this aspect and this method of teaching is found very commonly in the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through which he spread the deen, through which he propagated his message. And it gave a very clear explanation, as we will see inshallah in the two or three hadith which we are going to cite as examples. We look at the first hadith. It is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, narrated by Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, what he says. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking through the marketplace, and he was entering it through the outskirts of Medina. And there were people on both sides of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was walking. So he was not walking alone. Probably he was coming from one place, going to another. And there were a group of noble companions, subhanallah, who were honored to be walking on both sides of him. And as they walked, they passed by a young dead goat. A goat that was dead, lying there. So it was basically a carcass. We can describe it probably as a rotting carcass. The thing must have died because of illness, or maybe it was attacked, or whatever it was lying there. And there was another defect on this particular animal. The Sahabi narrates, it had very, very small ears. So probably it was some kind of a deformity, which was not normally seen on other goats that were there, given the size of its ears. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped and he grabbed the ear of this particular goat, and all the Sahaba are wondering, now what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, who among you would like to purchase this for one dirham? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّكُمْ يُحِبُّ أَنَّ هَذَا لَهُ بِدِرْحَمٍ. How many of you would like to buy this one dirham? Now, obviously, the value of the dirham in this day and age in our currency is not known. But for the purposes of our discussion here, let us say he would have asked, who is prepared to buy this for one rand? It could be more, it could be less, but that was a very insignificant amount. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is prepared to buy this for one rand? That means a dead carcass of a goat, and then also one that has had a deformity. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala al-Majmain on this occasion, they answered, مَا نُحِبُّ أَنَّ لَنَا أَنَّهُ لَنَا بِشَيْءٍ, that, O Rasulullah, we would not even want it for anything. In other words, we won't want it for free. Many people say, give me this for free also, I won't take it. They said, وَمَا نَسْنَعُ بِهِ, and what are we going to do with this in any case? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ أَتُحِبُّنَا أَنَّهُ لَكُمْ, wouldn't you just like it for any price, never mind one dirham, just wouldn't you just like it? He repeated the question in another statement or another sentence. So the people replied, قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ حَيًّا كَانَ هَذَا السَّكَكُ عَيْبًا فِيهِ. They say, oh Rasulullah, if this thing is dead, even if it was alive, because of this deformity that it has got on it, of the very, very small little ears, it would not have been of any value to us. فَكَيْفَ وَهُوَ مَيِّتٌ. So what value will it have now when it is dead? Dead and deformed. Even in its lifetime, we don't think we would like to have an animal like that. So this was the discussion which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. He posed a few questions and he elicited a few important answers which he wanted to hear. And he wanted everybody to hear those answers. And he got very straightforward, nice, logical, expected answers. And then, based on this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his point. So the issue was not about buying or selling the dead goat. He was not transacting any kind of a business there. He merely was making the point. And in the last line of the hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a lesson which is such a profound and a deep lesson. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَلْدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَلْدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I take an oath by Allah that this world, this dunya, is more insignificant in the sight of Allah than this dead goat is to you. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to draw the attention of the noble companions to the insignificance and the no value of this world, which is a thing people are generally and normally inclined to, as a result of which they will sacrifice anything and everything, including their iman, their deen, their ibadah, their family, their time, their health, their name, everything, so that they can get this dunya. So they give so much of value to it, and they are prepared to make such sacrifices for it. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew the attention of the Sahaba that, you know what, will you actually do all these things, sacrifice for a dead goat? So obviously the answer was no. So he says the dunya is even less valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the dead goat. So if you can't sacrifice and you don't want to do anything for the dead goat, how can you die and how can you kill yourself and how can you sacrifice your values and your akhlaq and all your other good qualities for the dunya? So the point that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, and that is a very important point. Many times people, you know, how they forget themselves and they become so obsessed with pursuing the dunya that they forget everything else. They forget the akhirah, they forget the fact they have to go in the qabr, they have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forget the all-important aspect of family relations. They forget the all-important aspect of community, harmony, and all these beautiful things. And they become so involved in haram and in the dunya that they lose themselves. So that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling. But don't have to do that. Stay away from such kind of behavior when it comes to the dunya, because it is not worth it. Another beautiful hadith, also where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew the attention of the Sahaba. So here in this story, he used the opportunity of a rotting, decomposing, dead goat carcass with small ears, and he showed them what the dunya is, nothing. Now look at the next hadith. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu narrates, and the hadith is mentioned in Bukhari's Muslim Sharif. He says, once certain prisoners of war were brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Probably some expedition took place, and these captives were brought, amongst whom were males and females and even children. They were brought. It was how the war used to take place at that time. So when they were brought, in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one woman there among the prisoners, and she was very frantic and running around looking for her child. And also at the same time, it was noticed that there was milk that was overflowing from her breast, because she was a breastfeeding mother. So this scene caught the eyes of all those that were there. And she was very, very frantic, worried that, where's my child, where's my child? Any mother will do that, especially under the circumstances that they were. When she found her child among the prisoners, she took hold of the child, maybe somebody else was carrying the child, and she pressed him to her bosom, and she began to breastfeed him. So everybody saw the scene, that suddenly how, overcome with peace she was when she finally got the child. And the most important thing she must have thought is, my poor child was separated from me, must be very, very hungry. So immediately she started breastfeeding the child. And this scene caught the eyes of those that were present there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also saw it, and he turned around and says, do you think this woman will ever throw her child into the fire? Do you think she'll do that? Given the amount of worry and anguish she just had expressed and shown now for being separated from a child, and now you look at the compassion and the mercy and the love which she is showing to her child, do you think this mother will ever have in her heart to throw this child in the fire? Tell the Sahaba. The Sahaba says, he replied, no, she will never throw her child as long as she will to protect and safeguard him. And that is what any mother will do. We know, as mothers especially, how overreactive they become when the child, forget being in danger, is 5 meters away from the danger. Hey, watch out, you're going to fall into the hole. The hole is so far away. Oh, wherever it might be. How mothers are so protective of their children. It's just a motherly instinct, and even fathers for that matter. But what love they have, that no danger, no harm, no hurt, no injury must ever befall their child. What won't they do? So such mothers obviously won't take the child and throw it into the fire. And that was the point. Now, when he got the answer from them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew their attention to something much, much more greater and nobler. He said, Subhanallah, Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadhihi biwaladiha. Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadhihi biwaladiha. He says, you see, how much of love and compassion this mother has got for the child, how she cared, and how she will not throw the child in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much, much more merciful to his servants than this woman is to her child. Allah is much, much more merciful to his servants than this woman is to her child. So let's keep the story in mind when we are in some kind of difficulty. We would know where to turn to. If there's someone who can show mercy, such mercy, which has never ever been shown by anybody on the face of this earth, to anybody on the face of this earth, then you must remember there's only that mercy that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have hope in His mercy. Do not lose hope in His mercy. Whatever situation we might find ourselves in, whatever actions we might have performed, do not think that there is no forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this opportunity to draw our attention to the inherent and the deep and the profound compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. One more hadith we'll conclude on. Beautiful hadith, and it is narrated in Bukhari Sharif. Sayyidina Tahrir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu says, such a beautiful hadith, kunna julusan laylatan ma'al nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One night we were sitting with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iza nazara ila al-qamar laylat al-badr. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the full moon, and he said, He said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That soon on the day of Qiyamah, you are going to see your Rabb. You're going to see Him. كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ. Exactly like how you are observing and seeing this moon. لَا تُضَامُنَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. And you will not be crowding each other and trying to look at Him. In other words, sometimes when there's a scene, you know, somebody wants to see it, everybody wants to see it, but you can't see it because there's a whole lot of obstacles. A whole lot of people are crowding. There's a commotion going there. You would also like to know, but you can't see because there are just too many people. There are some other obstacles for that matter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on that day, there won't be no people crowding around looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this He created, He used the opportunity to create a shock and an enthusiasm in the hearts of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, that we would love to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so openly and so clearly on the day of Qiyamah. So then he said, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَىٰ صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَصَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَافْعَلُوا. Then he recited the ayah, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدَ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. He says, you see, if you want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all His grandeur and in His glory and in His splendor and in His beauty, then if you can do this, then do it. Do not let yourself be overpowered by the two salats. One is the salah before the sun rises. Obviously, it is the Fajr salah. And the other one is the salah before the sun sets. That is the Asr salah. Make sure that you do not miss these two salah at any time. Meaning what? That if a person is unfortunate, he missed the Fajr salah, and he's unfortunate that he missed the Asr salah, then he will be deprived of beholding the noble and splendorous countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day. So there wasn't a more beautiful way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have expressed. The beautiful moon was there. Obviously there is no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the purity, the clarity, and the beauty with which the moon was being seen at that day, on that night, was what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used as the opportunity to let them say that who would not want to see Allah? And if you want to see Allah, make sure you read your two salah. Let's hope we can take a lesson from there. We conclude the last hadith, we all know it. The hadith of Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says it was autumn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out. He caught hold of a branch and he shook it. And then the leaves fell off. And then he asked it, do you think? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person performs his wudu properly, for example, and he performs his salah properly, then there will be no sins on him. They will also be just, they'll fall off him in the exact manner that the leaves are falling of this particular branch, dry leaves. So he used that opportunity of autumn, of leaves falling down, to let the Sahaba see how sins fall off. That is why when we are making wudu and we are performing salah, we must have the same picture that inshallah, I'm forgiven, the sins have fallen away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a very beautiful opportunity to demonstrate and to illustrate to the Sahaba how the sins fall of them. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give us the opportunity of practicing on his way and taking beautiful lessons in whichever way he taught us lessons to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come closer to him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.